Hi, everybody. Happy Tuesday, the day of double blessings. I'm Dave Butler.
Stephen Tager.
Welcome to Revival Podcast. We hope at the end of this 20 minutes, how long do we go?
2025.
Okay. I can't remember. I remember there's like a time limit that I try to stick to, you know, in case someone's on like a commute or whatever. I guess it's like 13 minutes if you're at double speed. Try and listen to this at double speed. But we hope at the end of this, you feel like a little bit more revived, that thrilled in your life of faith. That we just talked about what it looks like to live a life of faith, just the principles that are reviving. I keep saying that word over and over, but that's why we named the podcast that. So get over it. If you're complaining at us. How's your week going, Stephen, by the way?
It's going really wonderful.
It's Friday. We're recording on a Friday.
It's getting a little warmer, too, outside.
You can, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Unless you're listening from Canada, in which it's probably still cold.
Or Rexburg.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Sorry. Move by us. All right. So I just got done recording this masterclass on world religions. I loved teaching that class at UVU so much. I love studying that. It was kind of, I crammed it into 2 days of filming. And so that was nuts because I was like, normally I did over a whole semester. So like having to have, you know, at 10 o'clock, you have to be a Buddhist. And then at 12 o'clock, you have to be a Muslim. And like 1 o'clock, you have to, you know, so switching was kind of hard, but it's good. It's good. So happy about it. I love it. So when I was teaching Confucianism, when I was studying it, one thing that learned, both Confucianism and Taoism came out of the same time period. And what was happening in China was it was like the words that described the condition and the culture of China at the time were terrible. Like it was just a war-hungry time and just awful. Like they talked about like even the ethics of war were being abandoned. And so everybody was essentially asking the same question. Like, we're going to destroy ourselves. Like, how do we fix this? And so the emperor started gathering like the smartest people, like look and see what we should do. And Confucius looked back. He studied back at the golden age of China. And he was just like, well, what'd they do? Let's figure out what they did. And then he says, the way to fix this is to teach the kids. He's like, that's how we do it. If you want, and he has like a famous line that either he really said was or attributed to his like personality. If you want to, you know, feed people for a day, you give them rice. If you want to feed people for a week, you plant, you know. If you want to save generations, you just like teach children is what he said. He's like, if we could teach them, they'll grow up and they'll change the world. So that was kind of his philosophy. That's what he went around teaching. And that's what this talk that we're doing today kind of reminds me of by Elder or Brother Newman about this idea of preserving
the voice,
like the voice of the covenant. Or I want to rename the talk for him.
You can't do that.
I'm gonna right
it's
now. I got the microphone. You know, just you know, preserving belief in Jesus in the rising generation is what I want to say. You know, I was like, this is what we're trying to do.
Yeah. His talk is titled "The Preserving the Voice of the Covenant People in the Rising Generation."
That's like the whole talk. It's like a really long title. So we're just trying.
But he does go in the direction you go in. Like he wants to have us focus on how to help young people develop faith in Jesus Christ. Just real fast, the thing I love about this idea of that the way I'm going to try to help society is by teaching the children.
Is I believe the children. Is that what you're thinking of, that song?
It actually was not.
Confucius and Whitney Houston and Brother Newman are all on the same page is what I'm trying to say.
The reason why I like that idea is it's a very selfless act to try to help society and never get credit for it and to think in the long term.
Mm.
And so when you teach your children to be good members of society, you won't be necessarily well known for that, right?
Right.
And it's a very consistent and long-term plan. He starts off his talk by going through the beautiful experience in 35:17. And speaking of the children that were with Jesus, he says, they knew him, he taught them, he blessed them, and he loved them. It's no wonder that after this sacred event, these children grew up to help establish a society of peace, prosperity, and Christ-like love that lasted for generations.
Yeah, that's interesting because recently I've been thinking about stories that are like that, where someone experiences the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, experiences Jesus in some authentic way, and then to watch what happens afterwards. Mm. Like, and I just feel like that's a, you can see that all throughout scripture where people are just like, I mean, you think about, does he bring up Alma the Younger and all those boys in here? I can't remember if it's in here or if I was just studying.
He talks about
it.
King Benjamin and Mosiah 26. And so
okay,
on.
Well,
so
same family line or whatever. Just how different they were. That they went from destroying the church to this idea of they shuddered at the fact, you know, that verse, where they couldn't stand the idea that anybody wouldn't know him, that they would live their lives without him. And then the in-between experience is Alma explains it to his sons, just like, I met Jesus. I experienced the love of Jesus, and then everything was different. Everything about me changed because of that. And there's something about those words. They saw him. They knew him. He was blessed. He blessed them. Like, they didn't just know about him. They had an experience with him. And there seems to be a difference between those two things,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I totally agree.
When we're talking about what kind of impact do I want to help create for, like, right. I can teach my kids about Jesus.
Right.
But what do I need to do to help them experience Jesus?
Well, and especially because we're not primarily thinking beings. That's a part of what we are. But we're creatures who have bodies and hearts, and we desire for certain things. We love certain things. And so when we have experiences, it affects us at our core.
Mm.
So you're right. That is the question. And that's really what this talk is about. He says, he invites us, as he invited those parents in the Book of Mormon, to bring our little ones to him.
Mm.
We can help them know their Savior and Redeemer the way that these children did. So I think it'd be good to talk about both of those things. What do we want our kids to know about Jesus, and how do we help them experience his goodness and grace and love?
You know, what do we want them to know about him? It's in his footnote for something at the very end where he does talk about Alma. And when he's in his coma or whatever that is, you know, that he's in, he says, I remembered my father. What's he say? I feel like it's a really
Jesus,
good
thou
line.
Son of God.
Yeah, but before that, he remembers.
Of a
is
son
it the
of
joy,
God.
Is there something about the joy, though, in there? Am I remembering that right? Or am
that's
I?
That's Enos chapter one, the joy of the saints.
Oh,
deep
okay,
into
yeah,
my
yeah.
Heart. Yeah.
And same thing, right? Where he's talking about his dad.
Right.
Right? His dad used to talk to me about the love of Jesus and in accompaniment with that, the joy of the saints. And Alma says the same thing. I remembered my dad.
Speaking of one, a son of God.
Yes.
Right.
Like, yeah. Talking about him. And then he thinks to call out to him right after that.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's not too big of a leap here to say his dad taught him something about Jesus that made Alma comfortable to reach out and call out to him. I don't know what it was he taught him, but he taught him something that Alma thought. It reminds me of the parable of the prodigal son, where that boy thinks he can go back home. There's something about the character of his dad that right. He thinks, I can do something about this. I can call up for help. I can go to him in a time of need. And I think that's where it has to start with what you're saying. I think there's an important order to what you're saying, that first, we got to teach them about him.
Right.
That has to come first.
Yeah.
If we start with, like, you got to follow his rules or something, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Which I think are important, but they're not powerful unless we teach who they're coming from.
Right. If I were to think about the things I want my kids to know about the Savior, one of the first things I would want them to know is that Gethsemane and Golgotha shows them not just that they can be forgiven for their sins, but they still have worth even if they sin.
Mm-hmm.
Sin is never, ever okay, right? That's by definition, right? But
yeah, God sin is sent to like eradicate it and the effects of it. Yeah, yeah.
But the world would have us think that if we sin, then we've lost our worth in some way. And so we look to the cross both for the sense of our identity and worth in this life and also the capacity to become clean again. I think that would be really close to the top of what I would want them to know about him.
Mm.
What about you? If you were to think of something off the top of your head.
I mean, just something in addition to that, because I would, you know, obviously teach that.
Right.
In connection with that is that he's unfailing and faithful. And that was proven on the cross. Like, there's nothing that'll have him change his mind.
Right.
If the thorns didn't change his mind, if the nails and the whips didn't change his mind, your like drug habit's not going to change his mind or whatever, fill in the blank there, right? So that part of it too. And that just, that he's got, like, I just am so taken by how often Jesus is sitting at a table for dinner, lunch, breakfast with people during the New Testament. Anyone's welcome at the table. and that you can currently be living a life he would counsel against and disagree with, but he would have you sit and like, well, let's talk. Like, you're welcome at the table. There's always room for you. And just the fact that it's a table makes me think that he's just like, well, let's talk about it. Let me explain this to you.
Yeah. Let us reason together. Right.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that for sure.
Right.
And one other thing I just want to understand that he's on their side. Like, he's for them. He's like, I'm not here to control you. I'm here to show you the way to live eternal life, to live a thrilling, fulfilling life. Like, that's what I want for you. So let me, you know?
Yeah.
I want them to believe him. And I think when you show the cross, they believe him more easily.
Right.
They're like, okay, I can trust you.
Right. You know, what a wonderful idea to have parents maybe write their kids a letter or have a family night that is designed around this question. Say, what I really want you to know about Jesus, mm-hmm. and have scriptures and quotes from church leaders that really support those ideas and say,
hey,
you know, in fact, I can't think of many more things that would be more important to teach once and then consistently ask myself, are they getting this? Is this sinking in?
Right.
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 Elder Newman says,
I'm thinking of that, by the way, that story of Jesus' triumphal entry. When he comes in and everyone's like laying out clothes and waving palms and stuff like that. And then there's other people in the crowd who ask, at least in Matthew's account, who is this? Hmm. And they look at everybody, the way they're acting, and they're like, why are you acting like that? What do you know that I don't know about him? But I love thinking of that question. Who is this?
Right.
And people say, this is Jesus.
Right.
And it's just like, well, give me a reason that you're doing what you're doing. And sometimes in my mind, I imagine that the guy from the Pool of Bethesda is there, and like the lady who reached out her and touched the edge of his robe is there, and the blind kid's there, and they'll have a chance to share their experiences. Let me tell you why I'm waving a palm, because I once was blind, and now I see. He's like, that's what I want you to know about him.
Right.
You know? Anyways,
beautiful.
I'm so stuck on that. So cool. I can't wait to just think through that more and want to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I think I'm going to. Like,
I know, same. Because when Jack left on his mission, Jenny and I went through a list of like, what should you know if you live on your own?
Right.
You know?
Right.
You should know like not to microwave metal and like, you know, that you can't put like the dish soap in your clothes, in the laundry. You can't like, you know, like things like that you're just like, you know what I'm saying? What kind of things should you know before you like try and go off on your own as best we can? And I feel like I would want to make the same list. We're like, listen, kids, if you want to live a life, here's the things I think you need to know about Jesus. So that's super cool.
Yeah. Elder Newman says, recently a good friend taught me something I hadn't noticed before about the parable of the wise man who built his house upon a rock. According to the
account— You have a good friend who taught you something about this, Devin. You're so excited. Keep going.
Dave, do you have an insight that you
find? I'm going to keep reading it.
According to
the— I think he and I have the same insight, I think. I'm going to call him up, but like, go ahead.
According to the account in Luke, as the wise man laid the foundation for his house, he digged deep. It wasn't a casual or simple endeavor. It took effort. All right, Dave, give us your insight excited about.
I think this is good. This is good. So we were just talking right before we pushed record, and I said, wait, does that mean that they built on the same beach? Because he said that he dug deep to find the rock. And so it makes me feel like, oh, they both built on the same beach. Just the wise man dug a little bit deeper until he found the bedrock underneath. And that's where he put his foundations. And that's the same. The reason I like it, Stefan, is because it makes me think how easy it is for two people to be in the same church congregation, they're having very different experiences, or two people can grow up in the same home, or even like I could have very similar church habits as you and be having a very different experience with them. We could be on the same beach, and it's like, why are they so different from each other?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And what's interesting to me about that is a lot of that depends, not entirely, but it can depend sometimes about the kind of environment they grew up in, right? Which will help lead to, and ultimately children make their own decisions, obviously, but certainly doing our best to create a healthy home environment can help in that cause of helping people have a really good experience with the Savior.
Well, and maybe let me give one example that I just thought of. that might not be a good one. I don't know. But like, you could read your scriptures every day, or you could read your scriptures looking for the character of who Jesus is. And those would be, I think, two different experiences. One checks off the box. Like, if I look at both of you, I see you in your scriptures. And I'm not discounting what that could be, that, you know, a good habit's good. But I think it's just more beneficial if your time in the scriptures is spent, like, discovering the character of who Jesus is. Like, to me, that will bind someone to him more than just, like, doing the habit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think you can do the habit, or you could do it correctly.
Right. And I think another thing that would lead to someone's experience being different, when he uses this phrase, he dig deep. I can't help but think of my institute teacher when I was a freshman, 18 years old. I came here.
I can't help but think of Sean T from, like, what was that, like, the exercise DVDs you used to give, and you'd always be like, insanity. You'd always be like, dig deep.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I have, like, a subtle idea, but I can't remember. Yeah,
when you're like, want to give up, when you're working out, you'd always say, dig deep. So I know Brother Newman's done P90X or whatever that was called. Okay, sorry. Say your spiritual thing now.
So my institute teacher, his name was Scott Anderson. He absolutely changed my life. And he was such a powerful example of faith in Jesus Christ.
The number of times I've heard that, by the way, about that gentleman.
Oh, he's one of
uncanny.
The best. He's one of the best.
I feel like I hear that.
He changed my life, and he helped literally build his home. I think he played a significant role in actually building his house. And I remember this imagery. He said, when we were building the house, there was all of this, like, I think dirt or dust or just piles of stuff in his house. And he said, I had to sit there and just take a shovel and just dig all that out. And it is heartbreaking, the ideas and the painful things that young people are taught, and how they're mm-hmm. taught to not see their worth, to feel shame mm-hmm. and guilt, mm-hmm. and then just the false doctrine that they're taught, or ideas that they're exposed to. And so I think parents, as a part of helping them connect with Jesus Christ, we have to be wise and sometimes very diligent in clearing out obstacles so that they can get to him more readily.
And like Jesus did in the temple.
Right.
We usually stop when he, like, throws the tables and we're just like, wow, or whatever. But the next line right after is then the blind.
And the children, lame, right?
They all came in.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, he's clearing things out so that people feel more welcome to come in.
Right.
It's like, you've got to clear this idea out of your mind. It's not true about him,
right,
or about you. And you got to clear out this. You know, if you have this Adam and Eve in the garden, why'd they run and hide from him? Well, because they had some wrong idea about who he was. So someone's got to clear that out. They have some idea about how he thinks about them and their, you know, the right decision that they made, that they would, the only choice you have is to run and hide from him.
Yeah.
And it's like, hold on. If you had the correct idea about him, I don't think that'd be your response.
No chance, right? Elder Newman says they need to own faith in Christ for themselves. As the covenant people of God, how can we instill within the hearts of our children a desire to make and keep covenants with him? He quotes Nephi, we talk, we rejoice, preach, prophesy of Christ. And then he says, Nephi's words imply a constant ongoing effort to teach our children about Christ. You can ensure that the voice of the covenant people is not silent in the ears of the rising generation, and that Jesus is not a Sunday only topic. So I think at this point, just, I think it'd be interesting to see, what have you actually seen with families, small little things that they do to help Jesus not be just a Sunday only topic?
Yeah, because he says that, what should I do? And he's like, whatever works for you.
Right.
Where, you know, whatever works best.
Well,
you know, everyone's going to be different, but I do love the idea of, like, okay, give me an idea.
It says, well, it looks like whatever works best for you. And so earlier we talked about knowing versus experiencing. Knowing's important,
yeah,
right?
And we can think really easily, I think, about ways that we get to know him,
right,
and focus our study of scripture more on what he's done and who he is than maybe what we should do. Think, you know, they teach us the commandments, they teach us the principles of eternal life. That's true. But I would give more time and attention to who he is and what he's done and what he can do, you know?
Yeah.
So there's that one, but then the second part of it is,
right, helping people experience. So what have you seen, right? What ideas from families, what has helped over the years? And the thing with ideas like this that's difficult is you can get lost in the specific idea rather than the principle.
Okay. Yeah.
I remember I heard a preacher once say, every single night after dinner, he sets a goal to try to connect with his family. Now, someone could set that goal, but the principle behind that is, I am very deliberate about trying to connect with my kids, with my family,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I remember hearing another one from Mountain View. I had these students and—
I thought that was the name of a church. Because I was like, hey, Mountain View Church. That's
cool. When I was teaching there and these kids said, oh, my dad gets up every morning and he makes a hot breakfast for us. That seems so insignificant, but that really mattered to these kids.
Mm.
And so small acts of service, right? In a way that they'll appreciate that and feel gratitude for it.
Well, and what I was going to say is I've loved taking my kids on these HXP trips, they're humanitarian trips. And not everybody can do that or wants to do that. But the principle of it can be like something big like that or even smaller that I've just felt like I try to create opportunities for like our kids to practice Jesus's principles that he taught. Love other people. And now you guys try it and watch what happens. Do you not feel the thrill of that?
Yeah.
Do you not feel like the meaning and the purpose that feels so settled in your heart when you do something like that? And so there's something to me about practice his words. See, like try him out. And see if you don't
come
see
alive.
If it doesn't. Yeah, yeah. That's what a great way to say that. See if you don't come alive.
Yeah, and as I'm thinking, my examples were service. So embodying the love of Jesus in someone's life, right? And I love what you're saying. And I think that's one of the ways why the church organization is so helpful. It's because we can help our kids see how church service and church worship are opportunities to actually try out the words of Jesus, right? To have to go to a community with people that we don't necessarily know or would hang out with, right? Necessarily, if we didn't know them independent of our church responsibilities, and actually try out the words and teachings of the Savior.
One, I just thought of that someone gave me as a bit of advice, and I just feel like it's been so wildly helpful for me personally, and I've tried to pass it on to my own kids too, is to start at the beginning of a day and ask the Lord for an errand, and then to listen for it all day long. And just that practice has been one of that I felt like helped me trust him and him trust me in return. It's been a really binding practice. I don't know, a kind of practice.
Yeah.
And I think if you saw any of your practices that you're already doing, but if you reframed them into a relationship as a relationship term, it makes it like even like you pay your tithing. It's just like, why? Like get talk together about like, why are we doing this? And see the trust aspect of it. See the sacrifice aspect. You know, just bring more Jesus into like the principles themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Elder Newman, he finishes with this. My dear friends in Christ, you're doing much better than you think. Just keep working at it. Your children are watching, listening, and learning. As you teach them, you will come to know their true nature as beloved sons and daughters of God. They may forget the Savior for a season, but I promise you, he will never forget them. We let what the Savior did on the cross for us be the model for how we treat our children. And how many times have we forgot and turned our back on God and thought we were smarter or better or wiser or whatever, and yet he still continued to love us and he still invested us so much so that the Savior went to the cross for us. And we do our best to mimic that kind of love towards our children.
Amen. It's reviving. All right. We'll see y'all next week.